What's up, brother? How we doing tonight? Yeah, we good? Sick. Hey, my name's Wyatt. In case you were guessing who the heck is this guy trying to fit in, my name's Wyatt. I get to run the young adults group here at the Bridge. If you go to young adults right now, could you just make some noise? Those are some of your amazing leaders, but shameless plug real quick. If you are a senior in the house, can I just tell you, if you didn't yet know, come to Young Adults. Come through every first and third Sunday of the month. If you do go to Young Adults, you know that it's great. If you do not yet come to Young Adults, I just gotta say, you're missing out. And it would be awesome if you would just come by and hang out with us for a night. So, we are in our series, Deceived. Someone say, Deceived. And we are currently in week 5 of a preaching series. Of course, one of those times we had a connect group night, but tonight we are in week 5 in regards to messages. If you saw on Instagram, we put up on our stories that it was the final week last week. Gotcha. You know, deceived right there. And so we are continuing on with our series, Deceived. And I don't know about you, but I have been loving this series so far. You know, Pastor Corey and I have been talking through what we could be talking about, the series itself, and when we were getting down to the end of March, crazy that it's already April, by the way, insane, and when we were talking about it, we were like, dude, there's so much more that we could just dig into, and so tonight, we are going to continue on with that. If you have your Bible, open it up for me to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we're going to be starting off in verse 17. But before I do, I just have a question just so I can gauge the whole room. Have you ever gotten upset over something or even mad over something that later on you realize really didn't matter? Anybody? Anybody? Right? If you've ever broken, this is probably for all my guys out there, if you have ever broken a game controller, I've been there before. And I've had that moment of like instant regret when I realize, oh my gosh, it doesn't work anymore. And I realized that I just broke my controller over a game of FIFA that I was playing. And I just got so upset because Messi crossed me over. You know what I mean? Like in that moment, I realized it really didn't matter for me to get this upset over it. There was another time when I was going to my barber. This is when I used to live in Elsinore a few years ago. And it was one of those days where it was like, if I were to drop my keys before I opened my door, I would have like broken down. You know what I mean? You know those days where it's like that one thing, you're like holding on by a thread and that one thing just gets you, right? That's the kind of day that I was having. So as I'm driving to go to my barber, there's this little tiny gnat just flying around everywhere. It's going everywhere. And it's on my windshield. And it's like, you know, that thing where like, okay, cool. Get out of the way, right? Like, come on, I'm not really in the mood right now, you know? And so at some point, I'm like trying to like get this gnat out of here, you know? I don't like this game type of thing, right? And so again, I'm having a moment, I'm having a day, and it lands, this is me in the driver's seat, and it lands like right here on my windshield, and it's staying there. And I do not recommend doing this, by the way, because I was going like 60 on the freeway and I was just looking up like this the whole time. Do not do this. That's worse than texting and driving for sure. But I'm just looking at this thing and it's staying there. And so I take one hand off of the wheel and I go like this and I go, boom! And my windshield cracked, which, by the way, hey, I said, hey, I don't know if it's a compliment or not, but my windshield cracked, but the worst part is that I get that realization. I take my hand away, and that little gnat. So now I'm driving to my barber with a cracked windshield that now I gotta pay for. I've had one of those moments before where I realized it really didn't matter. And the story that we're gonna be looking at tonight is a similar story, where I think some of the things in life that we hold so close and so dearly to us, at the end of the day, even though we care about them, even though we have feelings about them, even though we have some sort of emotion about them, in the long term, they really don't matter. And I really feel like that tonight is one of those nights where it's not necessarily going to be like a hooping and hollering type of night. I don't imagine, you know, the whole crowd, you know, rising up to their feet and saying, yeah, come on. Because really tonight is going to be designed for us to think. And for us to have more of a perspective shifting moment where we can recalibrate our focus, our mind on what actually matters in life. And tonight, what I'm going to be talking about in regards to deceived is focus and purpose. We're going to be talking about our focus tonight, and we're going to be talking about our purpose, how we've been deceived to focus on things that really don't matter, to chase after things that really don't have as much weight as we hold them to here in life. And so, like I said, we're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 10, starting off in verse 17. As always, could we all stand in the honor of reading God's word? It is leg day today. You are back in school, and you might be tired from algebra. We do not care. We are going to stand for reading God's word. Amen. So, starting off, verse 17, just to preface all of this, this passage of scripture is famously known as the rich young ruler. What a title that this guy has. Here's what it says. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." This young man says, "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commands since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Jesus says, "There is still one thing you haven't done." He told him, "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Verse 22, to end it off, says, "At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions." Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for this time that we get to gather, Lord, in this place. Let us never take it for granted, God, that we get to learn more and read more about you, God, in your scripture and hear from you tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that you would speak to students. I pray, God, that you would even speak to leaders. Lord, I pray that your voice would be able to surround our lives tonight as we focus in and as we want to hear from you tonight. God, we give you this time and we give you this night. In Jesus' name, everybody can say amen. Hey, have a seat. All right, point number one. Someone say point number one. Hey, if you are not taking notes, highly recommend you taking notes, even if it's just on your phone. Take notes tonight. Here we go. Point number one. Focus on the temporary, and your focus will be temporary. Focus on the temporary, and your focus will be temporary. See, when we read through a story like this in Mark chapter 10, it's easy for us to look at this guy who's approaching Jesus from our like physical worldly perspective and think, man, this guy, we don't know his name, but we know everything that we get to know about him, and this guy has the best title ever, right? We don't know his name, but we know that he's rich, we know that he's young, and we know that he's a ruler. And it's easy for us, I think, to look at a character like that in the Bible and think he's got everything, right? He's got it made. Maybe you have a certain celebrity that you follow or that you like, and you see their life on Instagram, you see their life through TikTok, you see their life through your phone, and you're thinking, man, they go everywhere. They travel, they got money, they got cars, they got influence. They must have it made. And this is what I imagine this rich young ruler is like. When he's walking down the street to go and see Jesus, it's almost as if the other people around him are thinking, I wish I had what he had. I wish I could just have a moment in his life to be able to experience all the things that he gets to experience. And it's easy, I think, for us to look at, bless you, to look at certain people in life and think to ourselves, I wish I was like them. I wish I had their life. And sometimes what we do is that we fix our focus on someone like that and we try to become like them so that their dreams, their wants, their desires now become our wants, our dreams, and our desires. But when we read through this story and when we look at those three things, rich, young, and ruler, we will realize that every single one of those titles and every single one of those describing words are ultimately all temporary. See, when we look at the idea that this man was rich, we might think to ourselves, I wish I was rich. I wish I had a lot of money. Or maybe you think to yourself, when I get older, when I get to my job, when I get to my career, I am going to be rich and that's my goal. But we have to understand that money in and of itself is so temporary. When you get older, you will realize that when your money comes flying in like a jet about to land, you will realize that it'll land for a moment and then come right back out. All my adults can say amen. Because money comes and goes. You get money here, you lose money here. You use money over here, you get some more over here. And ultimately, when we put it into perspective of life, we have to realize that it might go inside of your coffin, but it is not going to go with you to your destination. It's not going to make it with you to eternity. Money comes and money goes. It is all temporary. When we look at the next part, he was rich and he was young. Other theologians or historians believe that this word young doesn't just mean his age, but it also means his looks. And so it's not just saying that he was young as in his age, but also he was handsome. He was good looking. He was attractive. He was someone that people would look at and think, I want to follow him. Because he was probably charismatic. But we have to realize that this story was written 2,000 years ago. Guess what? He is not around today. He is somewhere off in another land that you may never travel to, and his bones are somewhere underneath the earth. At some point, he was no longer young. At some point, he got old. And at some point, he passed away. At some point, the looks that he had, although may be attractive in the moment, ultimately deteriorated and went away with him one day. And then he was a ruler, which means that he had status, influence. Ultimately, status and influence is just like money, because one day, it's all going to go away. One day, it's all going to be gone. I heard someone who was a celebrity talking about this idea of like classes and a class system in society. And he says when, you know, if a plane were to go down and everybody in the plane were to pass away, they wouldn't say it's this many rich people, this many middle class people, and this many poor people. No, everybody on that stage is on the same level as everybody else. So at the end of the day, the fact that he was rich, the fact that he was young, and the fact that he had authority or influence all meant nothing in the long run. And you could imagine that when he's growing up, he would have had a father in influence. He would have had a rich father. He would have had some relative to look up to and thinking to himself, I can't wait to be like him. And his focus was on the rich and the authority. It was on this idea of this is who I want to be in life. But now all of a sudden he's finding himself talking to Jesus because I think on the inside he's realizing that all the hype isn't real. That all the hype behind his money, all the hype behind his looks, all the hype behind the fame and the influence really don't mean much because there's still something inside of him saying there has to be more. There has to be more to life. So my question to us when we look at our own lives, when we look at what it is that we have going on in our focus and in our direction is what are you focused on currently? Where is your focus? Because if your focus is on something temporary, then your focus is going to be temporary. You are going to live a life that is aimless. You are going to live a life without true direction. If your focus is on a relationship, as in a dating relationship, well, guess what? At some point, that dating relationship may not make it to the very end. You guys might break up. You might lose interest. You might find somebody else, or they might find somebody else. A relationship, ultimately, at the end of the day, if that is your focus, it is going to be temporary. One day, when you're looking at your life and you think, I want money. I want to get a job that makes a lot of money. There's a classic saying that says, money can't buy you happiness. But I think that that's a little bit off because it's too surface level. Because I do believe that buying things for yourself and you know, getting a new pair of shoes, getting a new shirt, getting a new hat, even getting a new car will make you happy for a moment. Money can buy you happiness, but it cannot buy you fulfillment. Money at the end of the day can never fill your heart to your heart's content, because at some point, if you became a millionaire, a billionaire, heck, even a trillionaire, you will never get to a place where you say, okay, I'm done now, because there's always more, and you will never be satisfied or fulfilled with all of it. When you look at social media, when you look at influence, when you look at people who have huge followings, when you look at people who get a lot of likes and get a lot of comments and get all of these things, ultimately what it is that it's all temporary. Because guess what? At any point in time, all of those people can just stop following you. All those people can just stop listening to you. And now all of a sudden what you're having to do is that you're having to keep up with yourself and you're having to keep up with this sort of look in order to appease and please all of the people, because that's where the money and that's where the influence is coming from. And it's almost like instead what you're doing is that you are being a servant to your followers rather than being someone who's genuine. And you're having to put on this act and you're having to put on this facade, because if you don't, then you might lose this many subscribers and then you'll lose out on some sort of money opportunity. And your life will turn into this rat race where you will never be satisfied with it. Maybe even you look at your own life and right now you are struggling with some sort of substance. Maybe that substance is drinking, smoking, nicotine, weed, pills, whatever it may be. Ultimately, what ends up happening is that the reason why you're taking that and the reason why you're resorting to that is because there's some sort of pain and there's some sort of void in your life. But isn't it crazy that after the high wears off, the pain comes right back? Isn't it crazy that after that moment leaves you, the pain comes right back and even sometimes comes back worse than before? What are you focused on? Where is your direction in life? Because if your focus is on something temporary, then your focus ultimately will be temporary. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind with this story is that the rich young ruler wasn't necessarily a bad guy. The questions that Jesus asks him is, keep the commandments, right? Don't murder anybody, don't steal from anybody, don't lie from anybody, respect your parents. And he's saying that he's doing all of these things. He probably hires some people. He probably, you know, allows people certain opportunities. So on the outside, he's not a bad guy. Here's what we have to understand. Money is not a bad thing. Money is neutral. Money is whatever it is that you want it to be. The influence that he has is not a bad thing. The influence that you might have on your school campus, in your friend groups, even on social media is not a bad thing. We are not going to be the youth group that says, if you're cool, lose it all. If you're popular, tell all of your friends to say, see ya, and become, I don't know, I don't want to start picking on people because then they'll be like, that's me. But all of that is not a bad thing. This man was young. He was good looking. Like, what are you going to do about that, right? Like, it is not a bad thing. It is a neutral thing. And so all of the things that he was focused on was not necessarily bad. And when we think of deception, when we think of the enemy deceiving us and coming after us and trying to turn our focus on other things, I think sometimes what we think is that it's always going to be obvious. It's always going to be blatant. Anytime that the enemy wants to steal my attention, this is what we think. It's always going to be sin. It's always going to be stealing, greed. It's always going to be the worst of the worst. But can I just tell you that sometimes the enemy does not deceive you with bad things, but the enemy can deceive you with things that will just take your focus away from the main thing. And ultimately, if the enemy does that, even though it's not a bad thing inherently, even though it's not a bad thing by design, it is still a bad thing because now you are focused on something that really doesn't matter in the long run. Because when you look at your life in the entirety, not just for where you are right now, you have to understand that I have been in rooms, I have been in places before where people are ready to take their last breath. And the things that they do not say is, I wish I would have worked more. I wish I would have gone for that promotion. I wish if only I would have bought another boat. If only I had enough money to get that pair of Yeezys. most of the time, if not all of the times, the regrets that people have at the end of their life is not based off of something temporary. It's based off of time and relationships. It's based off of people in their life. And so right now, when you're in high school, when you're in middle school, I know that it's so tempting to only focus on the temporary, but can I challenge you in a moment by saying, shift your focus. Change your focus. Because I know what you might be thinking, I have time, I can change it whenever, but can I tell you that when you start to take those steps towards the things that are temporary, you will start to realize that it's easier to follow those things than it is to turn away from them. Do not make your life or your identity based off of temporary things. Make it off of something that's eternal. Make it off of something that's going to last. Do not have your focus be on something that's ultimately going to fade away. No, make your focus on something that is going to last. Because when we look at this story, we notice that this guy pursues the right person, Jesus, and he's asking the right question about eternal life. But yet he misses the mark because his focus is still on his possessions. His focus is still on all of the things that he holds so tightly and so dearly to himself. And so in this moment of trying to figure out what life is all about, he still resorts back to the temporary. And the question then rises, why was he pursuing after Jesus? Why if on the outside he has everything, then why is he pursuing after Jesus asking about the eternal? Because if he really was satisfied, then he wouldn't be asking all of these questions. Is it possible that even though his life was full of all of these things, his heart was empty on the inside? Even though on the outside he had riches, he had wealth, he had his age, he had his look, but on the outside he was hollow. On the inside he was still lacking something. Is it possible that he might have had everything, but he was still lacking something? And that's why he goes to Jesus. And I think really the only explanation to this can be found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in verse 11. It says here, it says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted, get this part, he has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So in every single one of our hearts, go like this. Just put your hand over your heart right now. Right there, your heart's pumping. And guess what's in there? Eternity. Inside of your heart right now is eternity. And it's possible, you can take your hands off like we're gonna like say the Pledge of Allegiance or something, you know? Is it possible that he might have had everything, but at the end of the day, all of the things that he had could not fill the void that was inside of his heart? Listen to me, because this is really important. Because for you right now, you might be thinking long-term in your life saying, I want all of those things. But can I tell you, let's learn from somebody else's mistake and realize that all of those things cannot fill the eternal void that's inside of your heart right now. We have to realize that when it comes to this, when you try to fill an eternal space with temporary things, it will always be left empty. If you want to fill an eternal space, you must use something eternal. You must use something that's going to last. And ultimately, here's something else that we have to think about, is that if God made the space, then he deserves the place. Ultimately, the reason why God made that void and made that heart and made that spot inside of our heart is because only he is the one who can fill that void. Only he is the one who can fill our hearts and actually make it last. This is what Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else. For what? For it determines the course of your life. Can I tell you that if you are in a moment where all you're doing is filling your life and filling your heart with temporary things, you will get to a place of desperation. And can I tell you that desperation does not breed the best decisions. Desperation will take you farther than you actually want to go. It'll make you pay more than you wanted to pay. It'll take you to a place that is unrecognizable to the actual destination that you want to reach. And here's the thing, is that when desperation happens, we don't always make the best decisions. We don't always do the best things. And so if all we're doing is filling our heart, which, by the way, determines the course of our life, is the focus, is the compass of our life. If all we're doing is filling it with temporary things, then we shouldn't be surprised when we get to temporary results. We shouldn't be surprised when we get to temporary feelings that only last for a little bit, when we're searching for fulfillment, when we're searching for more, when we're asking questions like, why am I here on earth? The reason why is because you're trying to fill an eternal space with things that really don't last at the end of the day. And here's something interesting too, another paraphrase from the verse that we just read in Mark chapter 10, verse 22. This is from the Message paraphrase. It says, the man's face clouded over. I almost imagine like in cartoons when you had like a rain cloud over you, right? Like that's what happened in that moment. He didn't want to hear that. That was the worst possible scenario. It says that the man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear. And he walked off with a heavy heart. Why? Because he was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go. Be careful what you give your heart to. Because when you give it over to something, you will realize very quickly that sometimes it's difficult to take it back. Sometimes it's difficult to get back that heart that you just gave away for a moment. Be careful when you give your heart away to somebody else because they may not return it in the same condition that you gave it to them. Fellas, all my guys out there, do not let the world convince you or deceive you that the only value that you bring into the room is how much money you have, what status you have, how many women you slept with. Do not allow the world to deceive you into thinking that that's the only value that you bring to the table. Ladies, do not allow the world to deceive you that the only value that you bring to the table is your body. Do not allow the world to deceive you into thinking that the best life that you can live is a life that's alone but full of money. The best life that you can live is separated from anyone, unmarried, not attached to anyone, and all you have is money, because you will realize that at a certain point it is never going to be enough. Do not let the world deceive you into thinking that, because it's going to try, and it's going to try to take your focus off of what really matters. Why did the rich young ruler pursue after Jesus? Because his heart was empty but full of temporary things. My last point tonight, as the band heads up, makes me sound better than I already do. Here's what point number two says. It says, focus on your purpose. Someone say focus. Focus on your purpose, and your focus will be on purpose. Have you ever had this moment before where you stumbled into something that you really shouldn't have stumbled in on, right? Maybe a conversation. Maybe this was a moment where you walked into a conversation and all of a sudden you walked in at the wrong time. You're like, what did I just walk into right now? Or the worst is when you walk into a conversation and all of a sudden it gets quiet. And you're like, oh, I was not supposed to be here. They might have been talking about me. I don't know. Or maybe this. You got a brand new pair of shoes. You're walking through to school or whatever. And you step on something and all you hear is, whoosh. Or maybe you step on something and your foot slips. And you realize it's either mud or dog poop. And you're like, please let it be mud, because that the second option is the worst, right? Like, there are certain things that you can stumble in on, but there's other things that you can only step into. You cannot stumble into everything, but there are certain things that you have to step into. And guess what? Purpose is one of those things. You do not just stumble into your purpose, you step into it. Because you can only live a life of purpose on purpose. You cannot stumble into it. It does not happen by random. It does not happen by chance. Your focus being on your purpose does not happen on its own. It has to be a conscious, intentional decision that you make. So the question is, that you might be asking yourself, is what is the purpose? Where do I find my purpose? What even is it? At the end of the day, the simplest of answers that I can have for you, that we can see from the Bible from the very beginning, is that our purpose is God. And I understand what you're thinking. That sounds too easy. I know. It's right in front of us, and we missed it this whole time. Is that our purpose, at the end of the day, the thing and the one that we were made for and designed for, the thing that is that is ultimately crying out from our hearts is that we would be reconnected with God. Let me show you how. Is that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, when God is making human beings, this is how he describes it. It says, so God created human beings, you and I, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. In case you got confused, he wants to reiterate that. Male and female, he created them. So we were created in the image of God, meaning that you and I, ultimately, our purpose is to be in relationship and connection with God. Our purpose is to know who God is. Our purpose is to follow after God. Our purpose is to have God fill the void that's inside of our heart, and now we live a life that is only destined for him. This is what A.W. Tozer says about us being made in God's image. He says, being made in his image, we have within us the capacity to know him. Can I tell you that you have within you right now the ability and the capacity to know who God is? Because can I tell you that you might not think about this all the time, and this might be a thought that passes you by once in a while, but can I tell you that God is not some distant, disconnected, disassociated, he doesn't care about you type of God. He's a personal, close, loving God. One person got that. Kai, bro, you're awesome, bro. Here's the thing, is that you were knitted together in your mother's womb. Guess what? You were not knitted together in your mother's womb so that God would have nothing to do with you. You were not formed in your mother's womb by God, handmade design, so that he would just drop you on earth and then leave you forever. The reason why he did that is because he wants to be close to you, is because he's a personal God. Yes, God is out there and he's doing something, but God is also right here, right now. God might be big, he might be amazing, he might be powerful, but guess what? He's also personal. He's also close. In fact, in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus is teaching his disciples about how to pray, the way that he does it is that he says that our God who is in heaven. Now that word heaven doesn't just mean the eternal place, but it also means the air. Everybody breathe in and breathe out. That is as close as God is. He is in the air. He is surrounding us. He is the air that is in your lungs, and he is the air that passes you by when you're on the road. He is all around you. That's how close and that's how personal God is. Why? Because our purpose is to know him, and our purpose is to be in a relationship with him. But ultimately, what ended up happening is that somewhere along the way, further on in Genesis, we read that there was a disconnection and a separation. And all of a sudden, the room that God was supposed to inhabit inside of human hearts got taken out. And now we have been on a journey to fill it with all sorts of things that we think are going to satisfy us, but will never fulfill us. They are things that will make us happy for a moment, but not happy for long. They are things that will leave us in a moment feeling like we're on a new journey, but all of a sudden we feel empty the next day. And the reason why is because the life that we live is like this. Where am I going right now? I don't know. I don't even know. How could you tell me where I'm going? What am I doing? I'm just, oh, you know, that looks cool. Yeah, what's up, Jake? Where's my focus? Nowhere. What I'm doing is that I am living and illustrating an aimless life, going nowhere, headed in no direction. Where am I going? Nowhere. What's my destination? Who knows? And that's what it looks like when all we are is focused on the temporary. But this is what a life looks like when we're focused on purpose. When I can look up to where my help comes from. When I can look up to see where my strong tower is, as in the Lord. When I can fix my eyes, as Hebrews 12:2 says, I fix my eyes. I shift my eyes to Jesus. Yes, I have all this stuff happening around me, and there's all these things crying out to me, but I know that all of those things are ultimately not gonna fill the void in my life, because it's only one who can fill that void. There's only one who can fill that eternal space. All of these things, tried it, heard about it, not interested. This is the only sort of focus that I want in my life. Now notice, I'm not living my life like this, totally disassociated from everybody, God just take me back to heaven type of life. I'm not living my life like this, oh man, the world sucks and gosh, this is awful, God, just get me out of here right now, please just blow that trumpet any minute now, God, please just get me out of this moment, Lord. I'm fixing my eyes like this because I know that there's still a mission and there's still a purpose on my life. And so when I'm walking through life, things might come my way, but none of them are gonna satisfy me. There's only one focus, there's only one direction, there's only one person that is going to satisfy my life, and that is a relationship with Jesus. And see, what ends up happening in this story, if you didn't catch it or not, is that Jesus tells the man what? He says, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. And then what does he say? He says, then you will have treasure in heaven. Where's heaven? It's in eternity. He says, you may not have your reward right now, but you're gonna have it in eternity. You may not have what you think you want right now, but you will have all that you need in eternity. Jesus is saying all this temporary stuff is gonna go away once you die. Use it for something in the eternal sense. And the imploration that I give to you right now is that you would use the temporary things that you have right now and set it into eternity. Take the temporary things in your life and make them have an eternal difference somewhere down the line. You may not see the reward right now. Heck, you might even be made fun of if you try to do these things. But ultimately, you recognize that it's not the recognition of people that I want. It's the recognition of my purpose that's giving me the fire to keep on moving. Because my treasure, guess what? I might have treasure here, and I might not. I might have a lot of friends here, and I might not. And at the end of the day, if I lost everything, if everything was taken away from me, if everything was gone in a moment, the one thing that I would still have is Jesus. There's a quote, I forget who says it, I'm for sure not gonna take credit for it, it sounds too good for me to take credit for it, but it says that if I have everything, but I don't have Jesus, then I have nothing. But if I have nothing and I have Jesus, then I have everything. Because at the end of the day, all of the money, all of the stuff, all of the things, they're only gonna make me happy for a moment, but they're not gonna get me to my real purpose, which is ultimately where I'm gonna spend more time at. My focus on the temporary is only gonna last temporary. It's only gonna be for a short moment. So right now, with your age, with you being in middle school, with you being in high school, let me ask you this. When was the last time that you prayed for your school? When was the last time that you prayed for your classmates around you? When was the last time that you prayed for your teacher? Yes, even your algebra teacher who you swear is out to get you. When was the last time that you looked at your school not as an inconvenience, but as a missions field? When was the last time that you looked at your friend groups not as a way to get out of something or as a way to not be lonely, but when was the last time that you looked at your friend groups to say, we could change our campus for the better? When was the last time that you looked at the grade that you're in? You might be a freshman, and instead of thinking, man, I can't wait till I'm out of here, you actually think, I cannot wait for tomorrow because God wants to use me and God wants to touch lives through me. See, that is taking... See, that is taking something temporary, your time, and that is making an eternal difference for someone. Because guess what? Your classmates, even the ones that you don't like, need Jesus the same way that you need Jesus. Your teacher, who you think is disconnected, they don't care about you, they don't like you, they're out to get you. Guess what? They need Jesus as much as you do. How can you take the time, the youthfulness, the age that you're at right now, and make an eternal difference for the future. You may not receive the reward right now, but you're gonna get the reward when you get to heaven and realize all of these people are here because you decided to take the temporary and make it eternal. What do you have in a possession form that you could give to somebody else? When was the last time that you bought somebody who was in need a meal, food, even gas money? There was one time when I was going to Trader Joe's over here in Temecula, and I was just running some errands, and I go to my car to drop off everything, and there's a man sitting right by the gas station. He's got a sign. He looks, you know, disheveled, discouraged, all these things. And I walk past him, and the first thing I think about is, okay, what do I have to do next? I got to go home. I got to put all these things away. What if they melt? What if this? What if that? What else do I have to do with my day? I'm thinking of all these excuses and all of these things that I could do better than helping this guy right here. And I remember getting to my car, and I never carry cash on me, but on this day, I had some cash. So I took out the cash that I had. It was only like $3. I walk up to the man, and I said, hey, it's not much, but this is all that I got. And he starts telling me the story about how he's trying to get to go see his sister because his sister isn't feeling well and she lives over in this city and he doesn't even have enough money to go and see her and he really has to see her. And so instead of me leaving at that moment, I said, can I just pray for you right now? And we had a moment and we prayed and I walked away. Guess what? He didn't come back and find me to say, hey, that $3, here's $300 instead. There wasn't a cameraman that came out from the gas station to say, you are on, what would you do? Or whatever that show is. And I got a fat check for a new car or whatever. But I know that one day, I'm gonna see that reward. I'm gonna see that difference. Because I may not see it now and it might cost me something now. But can I tell you, I was gonna use that money on something else that was gonna be thrown away later. But that guy needed it more than I did in that moment. What do you have right now in your possession that you could use to make an eternal difference? Most of the stories in the Bible and most of the characters in the Bible, all God did was say, what do you have? What do you have in your hand? Moses, for example, in Exodus, when he leads the people out of Egypt, you know what he uses? He uses the staff that he used when he was a shepherd. God didn't say, hey, go and, you know, he didn't send him on like a side quest. Go to this guy, you know, get this type of branch, you know, have it be refined, have it be made, go and see this guy, blah, blah, blah. He said, what do you have in your hand? Because that's the thing that I'm going to use to change a nation. That's the thing that I'm going to use to free my people. What do you have in your possession right now that can make an eternal difference for someone down the line? What influence do you have right now? Maybe right now on Instagram or on social media, you have a lot of followers. Can I just tell you, are you using that in such a way that would turn people's focus or turn people's focus to God? Because ultimately, God can use that influence to make an eternal difference. And maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, well, I don't have that many followers. Well, I don't even have Instagram. I don't even know what Instagram is, right? Like, I don't know what type of, you know, lifestyle that you have. But ultimately, you have some friends. You have a club that you're a part of. You have a sport that you're a part of. If you are an athlete, guess what? When you step onto the plate, when you step onto the field, when you step onto the track, it's not just about you and how good you can do. Think of it as my talent and my ability is going to bring people to Jesus. Because my talent and my ability is not for myself. And it wasn't given to me because I decided to do it. It was always given to God so that I could use it for his glory and his impact. The next time that you're at practice, can I just challenge you? What would happen if you just asked the team, hey, can we just pray right now? Before a game, would people look at you weird? Is that why you don't do it? Are you afraid of what to say? Are you afraid of you know, possibly getting it wrong? Because here's the thing, is that maybe nobody does it at first, but the next time you do it, maybe one person does. And maybe after that, three people do. And maybe after that, next thing you know, the whole team is gathering together before a meet or before a game, and they're all praying, and some of them may not be Christian, and they might be thinking, man, why are we even doing this? And all of a sudden, God's gonna speak to them, and he's gonna meet them, and their life is gonna be changed forever. Why? Because you took something that was temporary, your talent and your ability, and you used it for the eternal. What do you have right now that God can use, that can be used for the eternal? Because there are some eternal decisions that we have to make. And we're going to make some of those tonight. In fact, in just a few moments, we're going to make an eternal decision. Because I go back to this question, why did the rich young ruler pursue after Jesus? Why did he go to him? Is it possible that he had everything in the world, but yet his heart was still empty? Is it possible that you came in tonight and you might have it all going on, or maybe you don't? Maybe you're struggling right now, but maybe all the things that I'm saying, you got influence. You know, you come from a good family. You come from a wealthy family. You guys are well off. Maybe you have talents, you have abilities, and maybe on the outside, you have everything going on. Can I just speak to your heart right now? Is there something missing on the inside? Is there something that you feel on the inside, right before bed, right when you're getting ready, right when nobody else is around, and everybody might see a smile on the outside, but ultimately there's still something missing on the inside? And all of your friends might be thinking, man, they have everything, but on the inside you feel like that you have nothing. Can I tell you that the only way that that can be filled, and the only way that we can actually have that sort of fulfillment, to never go searching again. Yes, you're gonna want things. Yes, you know, you're gonna pursue after things. And yes, you have to pay the bills and things like that. I'm not saying to go and sell everything and go live in the canyon behind the church, right? Some middle schooler just said, yes, right? Like, to you, that sounds amazing, right? But to me, I'm good. You do you, right? That's what God's calling you to. Talk to your parents. And talk to whoever owns the canyon, I guess the state of California, right? Newsom a letter. But when you feel like there's still something missing, can I just tell you that I know what it is that's missing, and that's a relationship with God. Because your spirit was made to be in relationship with God. There was a void in your heart that can only be filled with something eternal, and that eternal thing is a relationship with God through Jesus. Here's the last thing that I want to leave us before we get into this next moment. If our spirit is not in relationship with the thing it was designed to be in relationship with, then something will always be missing. Let me say that one more time. If our spirit, the thing that lives inside of us, the thing that nobody else can see, if our spirit is not in relationship with the thing, aka God, it was designed to be in relationship with, then something will always be missing. Bow your heads, close your eyes. You might be in a room full of people. There might be people in your row. There might be people right next to you. But this isn't between any of them. This is only between you and God right now in this moment, because we're going to make an eternal decision right here, right now. Maybe you're here tonight, and I mentioned the temporary. I mentioned your focus. I mentioned all of these things that might be crowding and clouding your thoughts. And you might be thinking, yeah, that is me. I do feel like there's a void. I do feel like there's something missing. I do feel like there is an emptiness inside of my life, and I'm trying to fill it with all of these things, but none of them are working. Can I just say that it's Jesus that can fill that void? It's God. It's a relationship with Him who has the ability for us to be able to never want, never thirst, never hunger again. Ultimately, He is our purpose, and He is our heart's desire. And so tonight, I just want to open up this room and open up the availability for us to be able to accept Jesus tonight, for us to be able to say, God, yeah, that is me. My heart is crying out, and I want to answer it tonight. God, my life is calling after you. Yes, I am searching aimlessly for all of these things, but I want to stop that tonight, and I want to fix my eyes on you, Jesus. If that's you, I'm just going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you to raise your hand as if to say, I'm right here. But don't just do it for me. Don't do it for the person right next to you. Do it because God is knocking on your heart right now and you want to answer it. So all across this place, one, two, three. That's you. Just raise your hand right now as a sign of saying, God, here I am. You can put your hands down. Now all of us as a family, whether we've said these words before, whether we already have a relationship with Jesus or not, but especially for those who just rose their hand right now, would you repeat these words after me? Dear Jesus, I know that I'm far from you. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I've fallen short. But tonight, I open up my life. I open up my heart. Come into my life. Come into me. God, do what only you could do. And I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, can we make some noise for people tonight? Hey, we're going to get into a time of worship right now. But before we do, could we all, without distracting anybody, just stand right where you are, all of us. And what we're going to do is that I thought, you know, how can you end a night like this? How can you put a response together? How can you put a moment together for students to be able to jump into purpose? And the only thing that I thought about was just being in God's presence, was just taking a moment and taking a time to just say, God, here I am. Speak to me. Do what only you could do. And, you know, I was in a moment in life where I was 18 years old, and I was asking the same questions that you're probably asking yourself. What am I supposed to do with my life? And I was in college at the time, and I was searching, and I was looking, and the only thing that I could think of was that I want to be a business major because I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to have a job. But can I tell you that being a business major is hard, and it's difficult, and I did not like it. And the same feeling that you just had in a moment of having this void and having this emptiness in your life was the same feeling that I had, because I knew that my life was not focused on my purpose. And so I was asking this question all this time. And at some point when I was 20 years old, I went to our youth group's youth convention that we were having. Obviously not, you know, not that we were running it, but the youth convention that's coming up, if you're registered, sick. If not, we'll get you next year. But it was that same one that I went to, and I went as a leader, and I still had this question on my heart. And it was at that youth convention that God answered that question in such a way that I will never forget to this day, and it's ultimately led me to this point right now with where I am in the moment. And can I tell you that it wasn't this miraculous, quote-unquote, amazing moment where, you know, fire came down and I heard the audible voice of God and I started levitating in the air. Like none of that happened. And if it did, that would have been even crazier, and I don't know what would have happened at that point. But all it was just a whisper. All it was just a voice that I had from my spirit speaking out to me saying, this is your passion and this is what you love. And from that point on is when God called me into ministry, and I have been following this path and this purpose ever since. But can I tell you that it wasn't the room of people that we were in. It wasn't the fact that we were at youth convention. It wasn't the fact that, you know, some band or some speaker was having this moment. In fact, it was during the message, but the message had nothing to do with what I was feeling on the inside, which is how I know that it was God. And it was in that moment where I was in his presence and his purpose dropped into my life. And my focus changed from all of the temporary, from all of the money, from all of the wants, from all of the things that are ultimately going to fade away anyways, and it was fixed on something eternal. And from that point forward, lives have been changed, because I believe that God has touched people through ministry that I've been a part of, and messages and opportunities and moments. And all it was me just saying, God, here I am, and just do what only you could do. And whatever you say to me, whatever you do with my life, whatever you show me, God, I want to trust that this is all that you have for me. So we're going to move into a moment like that, but it's not for maybe everybody. And normally what we would do is that we would have everybody come up to the front. We would have everybody be here at this point and at this time. And maybe it is a lot of people. Maybe it is everybody. But I specifically want people who are going to say, yes, I want to be in God's presence. I want to be close to God. I want to experience his love. I want to experience the grace and the mercy and the love that Paul talks about in Ephesians. I want to be close to God in his presence, because amazing things can happen in his presence. And if God doesn't speak, if God doesn't move, if God doesn't do anything that we can tangibly feel, then ultimately the purpose isn't what we receive. The purpose is us being in his presence. So right now, like I said, it might not be for everybody, and that's okay. If you want to be in God's presence, you want to open up your life to say, not just God, come into my life and rest in me, God, and let's be in a relationship together where I follow after you. This is the moment for people to say, God, I want your purpose. I want your design, and I want to be in your presence tonight, that you would speak to me, that you would show me, but above all of that, God, that I would just be close to you. If that's you tonight, would you just come forward right now? And as people are coming up, I'm just going to pray. And as I pray, maybe you're making your way up here already, but if you're already up here, all I want you to do is just to lift your hands and close your eyes right now in this moment. Nobody distracting anybody. And all we're going to do is fix our focus on God. Okay. All across this place, just repeat these simple words after me and mean them from your heart. God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to be in your presence. Now, Heavenly Father, we come before you in this place. Oh, sorry, you don't have to repeat those words. Don't lose the moment. God, we just come before you in this place, Jesus. And as close as you are to us, as the air is in our lungs, God, we believe that you are in this place. We believe that you are surrounding us, Jesus. We believe that your presence is here with us. And all we want to do is be close to you. All we want to do is be in your presence, God. If you speak to us, if you give us a word, if you give us a revelation, God, if you show us a door, if you show us a vision, God, whatever it is, Lord, that you want to give us, Jesus, we open up our arms. We open up our lives, God, as a symbol of saying our hearts are yours. Our focus is yours. But God, above all else, all we want to be is in your presence. One more time, repeat these words after me. God, I want to be in your presence. Now keep your hands up and let's worship God.
Breath we could ever breathe, we live. is power in your name. Yes, there's power in your name. 'Cause death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the bow of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of you glory. For you are raised to life again. Come on. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory.
We're gonna move into another song of worship in just a minute, but I'm standing over there, and like the presence of God is so tangible in this place tonight. And for some of you, you've never experienced the presence of God like you're feeling tonight. And what you'll do is you'll leave and you'll tell your friends, I really like the vibes. The vibes is like code word for God's presence. But you can be in God's presence and still miss it. Because as Wyatt was speaking, I was thinking, the rich young ruler, he was so close, yet so far. He got so close, and yet he still missed it. Think about it. He was in Jesus' presence, and not just like the Holy Spirit's presence like we experience today. He was like, Grant, you're going to be Jesus for a moment. Grow a beard. Hurry up. He was like, he saw Jesus. He talked to Jesus. And yet he still missed it. Don't miss it tonight. Can I tell you, those of you who've been used by God to do something that has eternal implications, you know there's nothing in the world like it. When lunch for a homeless man becomes extended love and compassion of a God that he thought forgot all about him. When wrapping your arms around a friend and simply praying for them, words become like hope injected into their heart. When you stand in a room like this and you worship in the presence of God and you think to yourself, this is what eternity is going to be like. And a guy like me, it reminded me of a quote from one of my favorite movies. It should remind you of a quote from the Bible. Okay, Pharisee, quit being so religious. It reminded me of a quote from one of my favorite movies where this guy says, and in this moment, I swear, we are infinite. And in moments when God uses you to do something eternal, it's like you're, man, we are infinite. And you know that because like Wyatt preached, Eternity's been planted in your heart by God. So why are you pausing before we go into the next song, Corey? Because I'm so fearful that you might miss it. And you might miss it because of one thing. When the rich young ruler asked Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He goes, oh, you know the commands, and he names off a few. And then he goes, oh, I've kept all of those since I was young. And then Jesus goes, cool, no problem, man. You just lack one thing. Go sell all your possessions. Give that to the poor. Now, here's the crazy thing. Jesus invited him to take the temporary and go make it eternal. Because imagine he goes and sells all of his possessions and he gives it to the poor. And then all these poor people who didn't have food, but now they do. Who didn't have clothing, but now they do. Who didn't have homes, but now they do. Because of this guy. And he goes, all right, guys, be blessed. I'm going to go follow Jesus. What do you think all those people are going to do? You're going to follow who? Oh, Jesus. He's the one who told me to do this for you anyways. They're all going to go, tell me about that, Jesus. And the temporary would have become eternal. But he didn't. He missed it because of one thing. So here's my question. If you were to miss it tonight, what's your one thing? What's your one thing that you're just holding so tightly to that you could miss stepping into the eternal? In this next moment of worship, what we're about to do, are we singing our song? We're singing, I say our song like I had anything to do with it. I had nothing to do with this song, but our worship team here at the Bridge has written a song where they took the temporary guitars and voices and music and they created worship. They made it eternal. In this moment, I want to encourage you. I'm not even going to pray for you right now. In this next moment, in this next song of worship, use it as your moment to say, God, my one thing, I offer it to you. I release it to you. I give it to you so that I won't miss it. Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes? Would you lift your hands? And in this moment, in his presence, the only place where purpose is found, let him speak to you as we worship him in his presence. We worship and honor you, God. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you.
The night was at its darkest, and death thought it had won. The enemy rejoices, but the story wasn't done. 'Cause bursting through the morning was the brightness of the sun.
Hallelujah, Christ. Christ reigns. All glory and honor to the Lamb who was slain.
The love of our Savior has conquered the grave, now and forever. Hallelujah, He saves. Hallelujah, Christ reigns. All glory and honor to the Lamb who was slain. The love of our Savior has conquered the grave, now and forever we give You our praise. You're still the resurrected One. You're still the King who's on the glory and honor to the Lamb who was slain. The love of our Savior has conquered the grave. Now and forever we bring You our praise.
Amen. Can we give Him praise? Hey, do me a favor. Can you join me in thanking Wyatt for that amazing message? And I want to encourage you tonight, as you go, focus on the eternal. Focus on your purpose. Focus on placing God first in every area of your life. You put God first, you'll never come in last. Hey, for some of you, you chose for the very first time to put God first in your life. You accepted Jesus, and we as a family want to welcome you to the family. So Bridge Youth, can we make some noise for people who gave their life to Jesus? Hey, if that's you, you are not meant to do this journey alone. You just joined the greatest family could ever join, God's family. And we want to help you with this journey. We created 7 videos called The Next 7 Days. It'll literally be me on your phone, on your tablet, whatever. They're just YouTube videos that we want to send to you that'll help answer some questions you might have. They'll help you in your faith journey. We really feel like it's our obligation to help you in these next steps in your faith journey. And so DM us on our Instagram, @BridgeYTH_. We'll get you the next 7 days. If you don't have Instagram, come talk to myself, Wyatt, Pastor Amber, any one of us. We'll find another way to get you the next 7 days. Hey, don't forget, we are not only here on Wednesdays. This Sunday, we have Connect Groups right here in this room at 11:30. And we're going to be talking about this message. I feel like this is one of those that, like, we could go deep in conversation about, and we want you to add to the conversation. So come hang out with us this Sunday morning at 11:30. Hey, who wants to worship God one more time? Let's get it.
All right, Bridge Youth, I'm gonna need you guys to get hype with me. I'm losing my voice, so you're gonna have to help me sing this out. Come on, put those hands together. Gotta clap on beat. There we go, we gotta figure it out. Come on.
I was searching for something, something I knew was there but couldn't see. I remember the moment when the one I was searching for found meaning. I can't make sense of it, no getting over it. How much your love changed everything. All 'cause I know you now, how could I go without Jesus? You're more than me.
Come on.
I don't want anything else. I need your love. I need your love. I don't want anything else. I need your love. I need your love. God, I need you like water. God, I need you like I need air to breathe. I won't take you for granted.
changed everything. Come on. All 'cause I know you now. How could I go without Jesus? You're more than enough for me. Sing this out, come on. I don't need anything else. I need your love. I need your love. I don't want anything else. Let me get in here. Hold on. Watch out. Watch out.
There's just one thing I need. 'Cause there's just one thing.
I don't need to get in that again.
'Cause there's just one thing I need.
Come on, one more time.
'Cause there's just one thing I need.
Youth, we love you guys. We will see you on Sunday for Connect.